I thought our meeting here last weekend was richly blessed. We had four different ministers coming to preach for us, and each one had a different gift from the other, but they all preached Jesus Christ. And I thought about them as being artists painting a picture. And every artist has a little different gift, but they all painted pictures of Christ. And we rejoiced in that meeting. Tonight, I want to call your attention to a passage of Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Paul would say to the young preacher Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Why is godliness with contentment great gain? Why would it be great? Not just gain, but great gain. I want us to ponder that subject tonight. Godliness, as I understand it, is a God-centered life. God is not just a little sideline in our life or something we think about on Sunday, but godliness is a God-centered life. Every day of the week, all through our lives, we are constantly thinking about Jesus Christ. And godliness in our lives can grow as we spend more time with Jesus, in fellowship with Him and in prayer, and in communion with Him, abiding in Him through His Word and through prayer, our godliness begins to grow. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Jesus Christ is godliness. Paul said in his letter to Timothy, he said, "But without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh." Now, Paul is not saying that it's a mystery that there is a God. That is not a mystery. God has given us abundant evidence all over the creation that He exists. The heavens declare something. You know what the heavens declare? That they got there by random chance? No. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. So God is not keeping it a secret that He exists. He has given us abundant evidence that He is God. Every flower that blooms, every blade of grass is a testimony that there is a God, that it all didn't happen by accident or by random chance. So the mystery is not that there's a God. The pagans know there's a God. Now they may worship Him in a way that is not scriptural, but they still want to acknowledge that there is a God. Even the pagans do that. So, the mystery is not that there's a God. What is the mystery? That God was manifest in the flesh. Here is the mystery of all mysteries. That the eternal God, the sovereign God, the all-powerful God, came down to this earth and was conceived in the womb of a little Jewish maiden by the name of Mary and took on human flesh. Now that is a mystery. And I can't explain it. Paul doesn't explain it. He just declares it is a mystery. How could the eternal God become a little baby in a Jewish virgin's arms? That, as Elder Obey used to say, that just blows my mind. That is a mystery. Not a mystery that there's a God. The heavens declare that. The earth declares it. All creation declares it. But that this God would come down and dwell among men and live in a body like ours, except sin excepted, for 33 plus years is indeed a mystery. So he is godliness. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And the more you and I spend time with him, in communion with him, and you know, did you know you can talk to God anytime you want to? You don't have to get an appointment. You don't have to pay. You can just talk to him anytime you want to through prayer. I've often said that we all spend as much time with God as we want to. And we're just as close to God as we want to be. Did y'all hear what I said? If you feel like you're far away from God, I can tell you, he didn't move. He wants us to draw near to him. And so the more you and I commune with him and study his word and pray to him and meditate on him, the more contentment we're going to have in this life. But godliness with contentment is great gain. The more you and I focus on our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, I think the more contentment we're going to have in this life. Contentment is basically finding joy in what God has already given us. Instead of just looking for more and more and more and more of what we've already got enough of, we find joy in what God has already given us. Now, the opposite of contentment is what? It's greed. And I can tell you, this world believes that greed is a good thing. Wall Street, all those powerful stockbrokers on Wall Street think that greed is a good thing. That you're just going to make all the money you can, no matter how many people it hurts, hostile takeovers that they can create, where they take over companies and hurt a lot of employees. They don't worry about that. As long as they're making a lot of money, they're good with it. Greed is the enemy of contentment in this life. And you and I need to ask God that he would help us not to ever be greedy and want more and more and more of what we've already really got enough of in this life. It destroys our ability to enjoy what God has given us. Greed does. And so we've got to watch out for greed. It's a dangerous enemy to the child of God. Now, contentment is not something we are born with. It's something we have to learn. And I want to turn with you just a moment to Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he would tell us about himself. He would say in Philippians chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse 11. Philippians 4 and 11. Now that I, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Did you notice Paul said he had to learn it? He said, I have learned. It's something that you and I have to learn. We're not born with it in our human nature. We don't come into this world content. We come into this world screaming and hollering and wanting more and more and more. But by God's grace, through the influence of the Holy Spirit and spending a lot of time with Jesus, we can learn to be content. Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Paul is saying there are times in my life when I barely have the necessities of life. And there are times when I'm abounding and God is just blessing me with so much. And that's true with all of us. We go through those seasons. But Paul says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. There were times when Paul had plenty, and there were times when he had need. But regardless of his circumstances, he had gotten so close to Jesus and had learned so much about him until he had learned to be content. I want to tell you, that's great gain in this world, to have a contented mind, and I'm going to say it's a rare jewel, and I'm still learning. I'll just have to confess tonight that I find myself sometimes wanting more than I need, more than would be necessary. I find myself battling that desire to want more and more. And I want to tell you, this lesson does not come easy. It doesn't. And it doesn't come quickly. And it certainly doesn't come naturally. It's against our nature, human nature, our fallen, sinful nature, to be content. You're not born with it. And if you're trying to learn tonight to be content, let me tell you, you need to be patient, because you're not going to learn it quickly. And it's not an easy lesson for us to learn in this world. But with God's help, and through the influence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and examples like Sister Aretha May was to us, you and I can learn to be content. Brother Larry said he's thankful that he was blessed to learn, not just through words, but through examples. You and I need to study people that are content. I think I've shared with you all in the past, but a lady that I loved dearly as a young boy was Sister Mandy Chance. She was the widow of Elder Josh Chance. And the other day I met two of Elder Josh Chance's great-grandsons, and I enjoyed meeting them. And I told them, I said, y'all have to have a little Primitive Baptist in you. See, I didn't ever know Elder Josh Chance. I don't know if any of y'all, I doubt if Franklin ever knew him. He died as a fairly young man, but he was a wonderful minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's buried out here, and his widow, Sister Mandy Chance, was left with not much of this world's goods. Brother Josh was sickly, and he gave himself to the ministry and never was able to accumulate much. But I tell you, Sister Mandy Chance made such an impression on my childish mind that I named my youngest daughter after her, Amanda Grace. I saw in Mandy Chance a rare jewel, a woman, a godly woman, who didn't have much of this world's goods, but she had what really mattered. She had love in her heart for God and for the church and for her family, and people loved her. She was easy to be around. I don't ever remember her gossiping. You know, that's a blessing, isn't it? Have y'all found that it's easy to gossip? Now, of course, we don't acknowledge that we're gossiping. We just say, I'm sharing information. Other people gossip. But I want to tell you, Sister Mandy, she was not that kind. She was She was a rare jewel and impressed me so much, I wanted to name my daughter after her, Amanda. And I want to tell you, beloved, you can learn a lot just by observing people like that. In my life, and I'm sure in your life, you've known people that were greedy. And they're just, you know, out there to get all they can. And they make all they can. They can all they make. And they sit on the lid of the can and wait for the undertaker to come and take them away. Now, Paul is going to get into some more lessons here that we need to understand. See, contentment doesn't come from adding to what you've already got. Contentment comes from lowering your desires down to what you've already got. Are y'all good at that? Ooh, that's a legitimate question. And I'm working on it. I'm not up here telling y'all I am the epitome of contentment, but I desire to be. I want to be. And Paul, listen to what the apostle would say here. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. See, Paul at one time was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees had great ability to accumulate wealth. They were powerful. They were knowledgeable, they were influential, and if Paul had stayed with the Pharisees, he could have probably become a very wealthy individual. But when God called him to be a preacher of the gospel, he laid aside all that had been gained to him in this world and began to focus on lifting Christ up to the people. And you know what a blessing he is to us tonight? Because of this man who turned his back on making money and getting rich and being a Pharisee, giving himself over to Jesus Christ, he wrote 14 books in this book I'm holding up to you all tonight. What would our lives be without the book of Romans? The book of Galatians, the book of Ephesians. Wow, what a treasure the book of Ephesians is. You know, the Corinthians wanted Paul to come to where they were and to leave Ephesus. And Paul knew the trouble that Corinth was in, but God had called him to minister to the Ephesians, so he abode in Ephesus. And he did not go to Corinth where they wanted him. And there was great wealth in Corinth. But Paul stayed in Ephesus and wrote that wonderful letter. How poor the church would be tonight if we didn't have the book of Ephesians or the book of Philippians. How many of y'all love that book? One sister in our church who is reading through the Bible, she's got a program computerized and it's telling her how to read through the scriptures and what to read. And she sent me a quote the other day and she said, I think 1 Peter is going to be my favorite book in the Bible. This week she sent me a text from Hebrews. And I said, you better watch out. Hebrews may become your favorite book in the Bible. Oh, I'll tell you, I love the book of Hebrews. How many of y'all love it? It has blessed my soul for 50 years plus to read what Paul wrote to the Hebrews of the first century, lifting Jesus up. I want to tell you what Paul gave us. In the Holy Scriptures are treasures infinitely better than gold and silver. Are y'all with me tonight? The Bible says he esteemed the words of God's mouth more than his necessary food. Let me tell you, if you've got a Bible, and I know all of you have, a lot of you like me now, you got them on your phones. If you've got a Bible and you can read, And you know, the King James translation is written where a fifth grader can read every word in it. If you've got a Bible and you can read, you are rich tonight. And the more you and I spend time in it and asking God, the author of it, to help us understand it, I tell you, we are rich. So Paul, bless him, he said he learned to be content. And it wasn't something that I'm sure came easy with him, because there were times in his life when he was hungry and didn't have anything to eat, but still, never once did he complain. So let's come back now to our text and try to close tonight. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're coming back again. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. How many of y'all were born with a suitcase in your hands? Or clothes on your back? Y'all came into this world just like I came into it, naked. You didn't bring anything. That tickled the kids. But it's true, isn't it? We didn't bring anything. We didn't bring anything with us, and we're not going to take anything with us. I heard about a man one time who wanted a coffin, and he wanted drawers on it so he could fill it full of money. Well, I can tell you, he didn't take a dime with him where he was going. He didn't need it. So Paul says, we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. So here is a man who is obsessed with gaining and gaining and gaining and gaining and more and more and more and more, when he can't take any of it with him. How much sense does that make? And if he leaves this to his kids, a lot of times that just causes trouble in the family. I could stand up here till midnight tonight telling y'all about families I know personally that fell out with one another over inheritances. Now, it's good to leave your children something. That's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. But I want to tell you, you can't take any of it with you. Paul says, and having food and raiment. What does it take to be content? He says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Elder Byrd's version of that, having breath and breeches. Let us be therewith content. He could sum it up. If you got breath and breeches, be content. Now, but they that will be rich. Now, he's not talking about rich people here. He's talking about those that will be rich. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I know about a man who was raised poor, and he moved to this town where there was a wealthy man, and the wealthy man had a daughter, and the poor man was very handsome outwardly, and he started seducing the rich man's daughter in order to get in with him and have a great job, and did so, and brought much heartache and sorrow. All 10 commandments can be broken by people that are seeking to get rich in this world. Every one of them. It's a dangerous thing. Paul says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of it, the craving for it, which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Now let's come down to verse 17. Paul is going to give a charge, And the word charge means command. Command them that are rich in this world. Now, he's talked about some that will be rich but aren't. Now, he's talking to people that are rich. And listen, in the New Testament, in Christ's day, there were people converted to Christ, followers of Christ, who were rich. They were. Nicodemus was rich. The men who asked for the body of Jesus after it had been brutally crucified, they came and asked for his body. And his body was given a decent Jewish burial, wrapped just like a Jewish body should have been, with honor and respect. And he was buried in a rich man's tomb. Let me tell you, rich people can be a blessing in this world. They are. These men were rich, but they were followers of Jesus. And so Paul is saying, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So if God has blessed somebody to be rich, there's no sin in that, as long as they got it legitimately. And they weren't stepping on other people and they just had the gift to make money. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all wrong with being rich. But there is a danger in being rich because you might get high-minded. You might start trusting in uncertain riches. No, trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good. That is, that the rich do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. A rich person that has a Christian heart can be a blessing to many people in this world. And you and I, beloved, need to remember that. If God ever blesses us to be rich, let's not trust in our riches, but in the living God. The Bible gives us many examples of people that shipwrecked because they wanted riches. Y'all remember Lot, the nephew of Abraham? He could have been in the company of one of the finest men that ever lived on this earth. But Lot chose to separate from his uncle and followed the well-watered plains of Jordan and ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah, and lost it all in the fire. Haman wanted riches and honor and ended up on the gallows. Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world. Judas betrayed Jesus for, was it 30 pieces of silver? Beloved, may God help us to learn to be content. Would you pray for me that I'll be content? See, contentment doesn't mean that you're not going to try to better yourself, that you're not going to try to have a good job and make a good income and provide for your family. It just means you keep all that in its place and Jesus Christ on the throne. Thank you all for your wonderful attention tonight.